You can have it all. You can do it all. You can do it all that's important in your life that brings you great impact. And I want to encourage you on that journey to stay the course, to continue to grow, and to continue to eliminate the non-essential and pursue the most impactful. It'll completely change your life.
Welcome to Starve the Doubts. I'm your host, Jared Easley. Joining me today from Franklin, Tennessee, Chris Murphy. Hey, Chris.
Hello out there, world. How you doing today?
Chris, we are fortunate, as always, because today we have some more fun people to chat with. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be interesting. I'm curious to see what these guys are up to. So we got Bill Watkins, Robert Mallon from RustyLionAcademy.com. Gentlemen, welcome.
So glad to be on, Jared.
Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Chris. Let's rock and roll.
Yes, sir.
Indeed. Let's do it.
So we like to have a little fun on this show. We're going to start out by talking about trending hashtags. If you don't know what a hashtag is, Robert, it's something that people use on Twitter. So I'm joking.
Oh,
on
Robert. Okay. Yeah.
What's Twitter?
What's Twitter? I don't know.
I think it's what a bird does when it wakes up in the morning.
Mm-hmm. I like Chris even better than I did 2 minutes ago.
All right. So the first trending Twitter hashtag, if you lead the way there, Chris.
Yes, sir. Hashtag Tuesday Travel. If you're traveling around, where are you going? What have you guys been up to today on this Tuesday?
It'd be more fun to talk about last Tuesday than today. We've been coaching people all day long and recording our own podcast. So that's what we've been doing. We've been sitting in a stinking chair, and it's a beautiful day outside, but we're in our offices. So
I have to know what that stinking chair is about.
Well, when you sit in it long enough, you know.
I do know. My wife sometimes complains about my podcast chair. Fair enough. Bill, do you have any exciting travel stories that might have happened on a Tuesday? If not, no worries.
Well, last Tuesday, Robert mentioned that he wished we were talking about last Tuesday. We were in Phoenix at Joe Polish's Genius Network annual event. We were surrounded by 350 amazing rock star entrepreneurs, thought leaders, industry experts, knowledge experts, coaches. Damon John was there from Shark Tank, Brendan Burchard. And it was probably one of the best Tuesdays Robert and I had in a year.
And tell them what we did first thing in the morning, Bill. Because we Tuesday and we were traveling.
Yep. Yeah, we were staying at the Omni Hotel at the base of Camelback Mountain, which is about a 2,400-foot mountain. And we climbed it.
Nice.
Every morning.
Oh, that is a good way to start the morning.
That is an excellent way to start the morning. Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to get off topic, but I'm kind of curious, Robert and Bill. Like, you know, events can be pricey and you guys are pretty strategic and calculated from what I've seen. Mm. How do you determine what events are priorities and what's worth investing in so you're not just wasting resources and time?
I think, Robert, let me throw you this pitch and then you take it from there. We have a process that we do with our clients that we also do with ourselves. It's called segment intention or segment intending. And so before each conference that we're looking at or as we're evaluating conferences, I think we go into them, number one, looking for a resource. We're specifically going to this conference because we're going to find someone in the audience or attending that can help us grow Rusty Lion Academy. Number two, we're looking for education that will make us better at our game. Number three, we're always out sharing what we do. And if we can find a client that resonates and trusts us, likes us, and wants to benefit from what we do, we're always looking for that. And I'll tell you, there's one more thing, Robert, that I think you'll agree with. We are looking to go to the conferences where our tribe hangs out. And by tribe, I mean the people that we could build lifelong friendships with. And we have done that in the conference, for example, at Genius Network, one of the most expensive conferences I think you can attend. And we've actually met some resources, some friends. We've got great education and also found some clients.
Yeah. And, you know, just to throw this out there, too, there's this other conference. I kind of forget the name. It's something like Podcast Movement or something like that. But anyway, that one usually is like stellar, too. So we kind of base it on how close to excellence.
Podcast Movement, all the others are.
Yeah. And all the others. And if they kind of start to approach it, we kind of go, we should go to that one, too. So.
Well, I could say that every morning at Podcast Movement, Chris Murphy and I were climbing mountains of drama because there was so much going on. So,
that's called an event. That's just an event. Yep.
But it was a good thing.
It still makes you sweat, though. So that's no doubt. Good cardio.
Absolutely.
All right, gentlemen. That was well said. We're going to stick with one more hashtag here. And Bill, if you'd lead us off. Tuesday motivation. What motivates you, Steve? Or Bill, I'm sorry. What motivates you?
I go by any name as long as it's directed towards me in a positive way. When Robert, I'll let you answer your own. But I think one of the things that motivates me, that gets me jumping out of bed, is literally finding work that I love, that I'm really, really good at, that I will do even for free. I don't do it for free for specific reasons, but I would. And so there were probably times in my life when I was not doing any of those. And those were, I wouldn't say they were dark days, but they weren't as motivating as the days that Robert and I have in front of us now.
I would answer that also. There's a guy by the name of Gay Hendricks who wrote a book called The Big Leap. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he was on Oprah like a lot of times, but he talks about the different zones, and there's four different zones, but the top two are zone of excellence and then zone of genius. And the zone of excellence, guys, is when you're doing something and you know you're really, really good at it and it feels awesome. The only problem with the zone of excellence is many times it keeps you from your zone of genius. And your zone of genius is, and I know you guys have them. Actually, I kind of know what yours is, Jared, but it's when you do something and it's just super simple. And everybody else is going, well, how in the heck does he do that? You know, but for you, it's like effortless. So I think for the motivation, it's just trying to live in my zone of genius as much as I can throughout the day. And then everything else giving to our team and letting them do that stuff.
Yeah, well said with that. Mm. I've heard both of those terms, zone of excellence and zone of genius. I didn't know it was from that particular book, so I just wrote it down. That's next on my to-read list.
The Big Leap, it's a phenomenal book, phenomenal book.
Well, you know, Chris, just to expand on that, the zone of excellence, when we're coaching a client, we coach super talented men, leaders, business people, entrepreneurs, incredible talent, incredible success, and lots of opportunities. They can do more in their zone of excellence than most of us could do in our zone of genius. The trouble is, it distracts them. They enjoy that success. They're good at it. Therefore, sometimes they have too much on their plate. They don't delegate well. And they wonder why sometimes they feel out of control. They feel that things aren't clear and, you know, they live a little bit in chaos. Once they lock onto the concept of zone of genius that Gay Hendrick talked about on his podcast with us, they literally can live that life of clarity and control and freedom that they wish that they had. And so it's an important concept for high talent, high performance men to grab onto.
I guess that would probably fall under the difference between doing what you're good at and what you're great at.
I think if you think of a zone of genius or what you're great at, it's breathing. For you, it's breathing. Mm. You know, you don't even have to think about it. You just perform at a ninja level. Everybody looks at you and goes, how the heck did Chris do that?
Sure.
But for you, it's so natural.
I love that. Speaking of something that is excellent and something that you could do effortlessly, I wanted to ask you guys this next question. Maybe you could elaborate for our audience. So you'll just fill in the blank here. Finish the sentence. If you ever visit Jackson Hole, Wyoming, blank.
Call Bill Watkins. Let's hang out.
Go to the bird, Bill.
On a Sunday. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Actually, better yet would be go to have
Sunday brunch at the bird, dinner at Gather.
Gather. Oh god.
Hike the Grand Teton or I'll send you another trail to take. But it truly, you know, the reason our corporate headquarters is there, the reason that I live there, the reason that Robert visits there, and the reason we hold all our seminars, workshops, retreats, and conferences there, it's breathtakingly paradigm shifting. Mm. We have some of the most successful leaders on the planet land either their plane or in a commercial aircraft, and it takes their breath away. And they completely feel their soul shift, and they're much more open to impactful results, life-changing, transformational results when you're in a place that literally seems like it's in another planet practically. And Jackson Hole, and there are others around the world, but it's one of those places we call it where you can accomplish what we call white time thinking. It's like your mind becomes a blank whiteboard and you can write on it freely. And that's why Jackson Hole is such an amazing place for a vacation or a work trip.
And by the way, the reason it takes your breath away is because it's at such a high elevation. So
it literally will take your breath away.
Just kidding. Yeah, it will. When you hike and you're not used to it, it really will take your breath away for real.
I've not been to Jackson Hole, but I've been to Colorado several times, mm-hmm. especially in some of those higher altitudes. And it takes a day or two to get used to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we just had
I've been to Jackson, Mississippi. It was wonderful.
That's about, 20? I think 20 feet or something like that.
Well, you know, Jared and Chris, we just brought our company team out here about a month ago, Robert?
Yeah, 12 people.
Yeah. Yep, for 3 days, kind of recapping what we accomplished in 2016 and kind of setting the platform for what we're going to accomplish, what we will accomplish in 2017. And that meeting that was a home run. I think Robert and I had segment intended what we wanted to accomplish during that meeting. And we accomplished everything on our list and more. And our team has synergized and left. And I have to say, the reason I brought that up is because much of the energy, much of the accomplishment that we did was because we were in a place that creates energy, inspiration, and progress. And so the leaders, I know you two know that, but the leaders out in your audience should realize that as they plan company meetings and they have a purpose behind, generating progress in their planning, strategy, and vision, the place, PLACE, the place where you have that meeting is instrumental in the progress that you're going to achieve. And please don't underestimate that.
Insights into Teens, a podcast series exploring the issues and challenges of today's youth. Talking to real teens about real teen problems. Explore issues from braces to puberty, social anxiety to financial responsibility. Each week, we talk about the topics concerning today's youth. We look at how the issues affect teens, how to cope with these issues, and how parents, friends, and loved ones can help teens handle these challenges. Check out our video episodes on youtube.com/insightsintothings. Catch our audio versions on podcast.insightsintoteens.com or on the web at insightsintothings.com.
It makes me think not only that Jackson Hole could be a place that incites that whiteboard thinking, but it also kind of gets rid of that white noise that happens mm-hmm. so often in our daily lives. Totally. We can get ourselves and kind of unplug from the norm and go to a place that really kind of inspires. That's beautifully said, gentlemen.
Totally, Chris. That was very insightful of you. And I think, you know, white noise is something that you really aren't conscious of. It exists and it masks out, you know, the noises around us. That's why white noise is supposedly a positive. But in the context you presented, we are inundated by noise and it masks out the productivity thinking that leaders need to be investing in. And leaders need to be working on businesses, not in businesses. And it's the white noise. When you unplug from that white noise, that's when that whiteboard thinking and that free, noise-free thinking can happen.
Bill, that's got everything to do with Matt, who we just got off the line with. Guys, we were just on a coaching call with a guy, high-level guy, great guy. But he's really right now seeking solitude and silence just mm-hmm. for the end of the year so that he can really develop 2017. And we were talking about ways that he can actually do that, you know, and kind of unplug enough to really be able to change his life in a way, his work life and the rest of his life, too. But we spent almost an hour talking about that. It's pretty interesting. Keep going, guys.
Yeah, and you guys have me inspired here. And it makes me think, you know, right now I'm in just south of Nashville, Tennessee. Franklin, Tennessee. Absolutely.
We were out there hanging out with Dan Miller last year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's a good guy.
And the frothy monkey, no less.
That's about 6 minutes from where I sit. So
there you go.
I love that. That's where I go when I need my own little white noise or whiteboard time. But you got me thinking about Jackson Hole and being such an inspirational place. And mm-hmm. also, it's the fall season for us all here right now as we record this. And it's actually my favorite time of year. It's my most inspirational time of year. When the seasons start to change, you watch the colors change. The weather feels different. I can watch some good football on TV. What is it about a season of, for you, what's your favorite season about, and maybe even if it's fall, what do you love about that? And then also kind of a two-parter, what season of life do you gentlemen consider yourselves in?
Great. Bill, do you mind if I start?
Ooh, man, those are good questions. I'm loving this.
You hit it out of the park here. Fall would be for me for several reasons. Number one, football, big time, you know, college and pro, love it.
Yes.
I think the worst day of the year, seriously, is the day after the Super Bowl. It just sucks. That Monday for me is just like, God, it's so bad. But I think fall is just really tough. But anyway, love fall. And then the season of life that Bill and I are both in, we're less than a year apart. And we're going to say it's the second third of our life. That's what I'm going to say anyway. But we're actually, Bill just turned 62. I'm 61 years old. Yep. And so we feel like we're really in the best part. And looking back over the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, I tell you, if you're in good shape, the 60s are freaking awesome. And there's just some great things going on. So we both have, I think, probably as much energy physically as most people in their 20s or 30s, whatever. But we also have the life experience, and we've had all the scars, and we've had all the crazy stuff that happened. So we've learned a lot, and that kind of helps a little bit too. So I love this season of life right now. Truly do.
I think for Chris, I'm going to answer the first part of your question, my favorite season, in two ways. My favorite season for life and for fun is summertime in Wyoming. I love to get out in the backcountry. I do love to ski. You know, we've got world-class resorts, ski resorts out there. But I particularly like backpacking and climbing. And so you really can't do that safely in the winter. So summer has to be my optimal experience time. But I really appreciate the last week of the year. So it's post-Christmas, pre-New Year. And Robert and I have a process where we walk through a document we call Reflect Back, Look Forward. And it's when we feel like our life is pregnant with potential. We've wrapped up, you know, 51 weeks of a year, and we're going to jump into 52 weeks of potential. And so he and I spend individual and collective time kind of planning out our next impactful year. So the season of life that we're in right now, I think, is a transition, and I've got a blog post coming out on it, where we have moved from success to significance. And we've not only shifted that in real life, if you saw us, but we've shifted that in mindset. And so I don't know the age of your audience, but I remember when I was in my 30s, maybe my 40s, and certainly in my 20s, when I was pursuing medals and I was pursuing recognition and awards, and I attributed those to success. And as I aged and became more of a rusty lion, I found that significance was more meaningful. It doesn't have to be sequential, but for most of us, it is, only because we've set our minds to believe that. We have to get this before we can get that. We don't teach that now. We think they go together. But I think we're in a phase where we're making our greatest, I mean, we've had a lot of wins in our life, but this Rusty Lion Academy, what we're doing with clients, what we're doing with our audience, people who come to our conferences, we are in the most transformational period of our life. We've developed tons of leaders and helped tons of business owners and entrepreneurs and men. But right now we are anchoring our legacy. And it's probably the most exciting time of our life. Most people would write us off at 60 years old. Most of our peers are thinking about which easy chair they're going to buy because they're ready to retire from life. And we are shifting from third to fourth gear, and we've got six gears in the transmission. So we're more excited than we even were last year.
I recently spent the weekend with my parents who live in Alabama and got to have a really amazing breakfast with my grandfather, who is 87 now. Wow. And he is just as vibrant. He's firing on all cylinders, staying in the garden every day. He works on small motor engines as a business that he still runs even at 87. And he looked at me with all seriousness and said, if I can give you one tip as you continue to get older, just keep moving. He said so many people retire and they decide that that's when they're going to finally sit in that recliner, like you say, and relax for a change. And that's when you slowly start to die. And he's watching his friends and gentlemen that he was in the Air Force with passing away around him. And he says, just keep moving. There's so much to life out there that you can't experience by sitting in a chair. So keep it moving.
You know, things are moving, Chris, as far as the way the world is. We were last week in Phoenix, Dan Sullivan. I don't know if you know his name, but
oh yeah.
Yeah. He was, he's got a goal right now. He's 72 years old. Uh-huh. And also Peter Diamandis, actually spoke last week, and he's
the X-Prize,
just
SpaceX.
Yeah, he's, oh yeah, yeah, sure.
But you know, the age limit is going way, way up right now, and with medicine and with human genomes and all that kind of stuff. Well, Dan's goal, he set this goal, what, 2 years ago, I think it was.
Ago.
But yeah, but he wants to ring in the new year of 2100, which would make him 156 years old. And people laugh at that, but,
wow,
you know, like he's had, you know, he's going through the process of actually trying to do that. And they're saying that a lot of kids right now, like our, Jared, you've got, how old is your daughter?
She is about to be six.
About 6 years old. She's probably easily going to live to be 110 years old just because of the advances in technology now.
Totally.
And that would be easy, you know, so she could hit 120, 130, something. So it's really, really important to think in those terms and then also to plan to, like you said, just keep moving, because if you don't, you're not going to make it. And you could actually do it, be 100 years old and still climbing mountains and stuff. I truly believe that you could do that.
Yeah. And Damon John,
yeah,
we met Damon and got a lot of his pearls of wisdom. But one of the things that he shared, someone asked him a question from the audience. He said, Damon, what was the habit or the habits that you pursued early on in your career to become a billionaire? And he said, and he's got quite a story, but, and he's very relatable. Oh my gosh, I've never met a billionaire so down to earth. But anyway, he said, well, I got my life priorities in order. It took me a while, but I finally did. And here they are in order: health, marriage, fatherhood, productivity, and business. He said, when I put business fifth and I put health first, he said, I finally got it. And here's what he said. He said, I focus on my health first, not selfishly, but because I cannot bring my best game to everything else in my world if I'm unhealthy. And he said, so I need to be mentally, emotionally, and physically at peak so that I'm my best businessman, the best husband, and so on. The point of that and how it links to our conversation is Dan Sullivan and Peter Diamandis and others like him are leading the way, I think, in vibrant longevity, meaning what you're doing today has long-term effects. Don't underestimate it. We've had clients that signed on, and then we were onboarding them, and we said, well, tell us, you know, a little bit about your typical day, you know, and then we would get to, well, how much do you sleep? And they'd say, oh, well, I'm the guy who can, I only need 4 hours of sleep. I can go 2 days without sleep. And we're like, dude, no, you can't. I'm sorry. I don't care who you think you are, but no, you can't. Not long term.
Maybe here or there, but not long term. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Not long term.
Yeah.
The name Rusty Lion, we've mentioned it several times, and I'm curious, Robert, if you'd be willing to share where the name Rusty Lion came from.
I would love to, because I'm going to point back to Bill. Back in 2009, Bill was a world-class athlete back in the 70s and 80s and was on the Olympic development team for bicycling. And he it was a very interesting story when he was on the starting line of the Olympics back then, which he can tell later. But anyway, back in 2009, he set a goal of getting back on the podium for a professional race. And so he went after it for 3 years, and he actually won the men's national championship in 2011. So I guess it was 2 years. Yeah. And by the way, that was going against professional athletes in their 20s and 30s. So he actually won that thing at age 57, I think it was, Bill. Mm-hmm. But he was writing a blog at that point. The name of the blog was Rusty Lion. And so, Chris, Jared, if you guys walked out on the savannah and you came across a lion and walked up to him, which we would absolutely suggest you don't do, you know, but you would see that they got like a lot of scars and a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff going on with them. But with those scars came a lot of their wisdom and really life lessons. And so when we were thinking about what we're doing, and we're over 50 years old, and we were thinking about the 30 to 49 year old guys that we wanted to help, Rusty Lion just kind of made sense. So we call our clients Lions, and we're Rusty Lions.
Mm.
But, you know, and so it really came from his blog and from the title of his blog, and it just made sense, and it seems to resonate with people pretty well.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, all men want to be, well, when we say all men, all people want to be lion in life, lion-hearted, for example, lioness-hearted. But the rust on our armor, Robert and my armor, are the scars, the failures, the setbacks that we either self-inflicted on ourselves or life just dished up for us. But if you ask any great leader, anyone of greatness, they would tell you that their biggest successes oftentimes came from their most impactful failure. And so we put the two terms together, recognizing the fact that we all want to be lions, and we are in a certain way, but we are also lions with scars, rust on our armor. All of us fail. It's not if you're going to fail, it's just when, how, and what you're going to darn well do with it that will mark your life.
Oh, that's beautifully said.
I was getting ready to say, I hope we're not failing on this podcast right now.
No, not at all.
Chris and I are failing.
A long time to fail, right?
You know, I spent a lot of my life trying to avoid pain and conflict and those types of issues. And what I came to the realization of after a lot of fits and starts is that it's in those supposed failures or those struggles that actually the growth comes. So when you guys talk about those scars, it makes me think that the more scars that we have, the more wisdom that we have, because we could learn from those situations instead of just look at those as a piece of failure or a bit of to keep us from looking young. Young is a good thing in certain respects, but the wisdom that comes as we age and as we go through life is invaluable if we can use it and take it to the next level, so to speak.
Totally. I mean, Jim Rohn said, don't wish it was easier, wish you were better. And so I think it aligns with what you just said. There was a time in my younger life, many times actually, you know, I was this type A driver, success at all costs. And when I would hit an obstacle, I'd like look to the sky and go, why me? You know, I didn't do anything, you know. And Robert, you know, intimated on the story I had at the Olympic trials start line. But I was totally wrong. That's how life is. Once I began to embrace that, and I mean, we don't celebrate failure. I think that's stupid, but we can certainly understand that failure, obstacles, and setbacks, challenges are just the way life is. That's the way business is. It is definitely going to happen. Bad things are going to happen to you, to great people. And when we embrace it, not in a welcoming sense, but embrace it in a accepting sense, then I think we pivot faster and we learn from it. And as you said, Chris, it becomes the most powerful developer of your skill sets, of your muscle, your mental, emotional, and skill set muscles. And it makes you much more effective in life and in business.
And then even to go along with that and past that, hindsight like that can become someone else's foresight.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's what we love, you know, so totally. We can look back and sort of guide by some of the mistakes that we see clearly now, but we didn't see back then.
Sure.
Totally.
Well, I've heard the term launch sequence throughout business and throughout just dealing and living in this kind of internet business world that we have somewhat of an opportunity to work in. What does launch sequence mean to you guys?
Go for it, Bill.
Well, our coaching is broken down. The development of a business leader, the development of a businessman is broken into three segments. The visual is that of a rocket ship, you know, a SpaceX taking off. So first there's the T-minus countdown. Our first step is called T-minus one. And this is where in the first step of coaching in a single session, a leader is prepped to take off. So we walk them through a particular 90-minute process when they set some very impactful goals for the next 90 days. And so they have clarity, they have control, and they have a deep sense of the who they are and where they've been and where they would want to go. And so similar to the rocket, they now enter into liftoff. And so that's the next step in the launch sequence to get a rocket out heading towards Mars. And so this is where the majority of the fuel is expended, the energy to get the rocket to break gravity. And so we're breaking the gravity of a leader's life in his or her business and heading them towards their final destination, which they defined in the T-minus one part of the coaching process. Mm. And so there's a particular six-step process that they move through during liftoff, and they get to the edge of their known world, their known atmosphere, and they've gained tools, they've gained mindset. I'd say 80% of our work is crafting or recrafting mindset. 20% is, you know, shortcuts, tips, tricks, and tools. And now the rocket enters into orbit. You know, it heads now, it only needs steering, fuel, you know, a little shot here or there to keep the rocket moving towards the final destination. And this is what a leader does when they have the tools and when they have the mindset. They have control, they have clarity, they have peace of mind, and they have the freedom that they always wanted. We work primarily with business owners. There isn't one business owner who says, I started my business so that I could wrap a ball and chain around my ankle and let my business drag me around. They always have this dream of being free and in control, but yet 1 year, 2 year, 10 year, 20 years in, it's the last thing that they're experiencing in their life. So they get into orbit. It's this beautiful place of freedom and mental peace. And so that's the last stage that a leader goes through when they process through the launch sequence. It takes about 6 months. Some clients have kept us on for, Robert, what, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years? But generally speaking, our goal is to arm a man, arm a leader with a particular mindset and tools in about 6 months. And then if they want us to stay on board, we're there to help them fly their rocket. They're the driver. You know, we're just here with a roadmap. And
we got the map. Yeah,
we got the map. So that's how the launch sequence works. And whether you work with someone like us or whether you work with someone else, I think, Chris and Jared, you'll get this. What we bring to super talented, super successful, high impact, high performance men is the same thing that a coach will bring to a professional athlete. There probably isn't any professional athlete that I know of who does not have a coach or coaches. And why we think in business and in life, we don't necessarily need coaches. There's a lot of guys, oh, I don't need a coach. I'm good. I think professional athletes would kind of scrunch their eyes up, look over and go, really, dude? Are you kidding me? You know, Tom Brady has a passing coach and, you know, a strength coach and a mental coach. And he's got a whole team of coaches that makes him one of the best players, if not the best player in the world.
Gentlemen, as we start to wrap things up real quick, we'll start with you, Robert. What's the best place for the listeners to connect with you online?
RustyLionAcademy.com. And we have a thing called, what the heck is it called, Bill?
Lion's Den?
The Lion's Den, yeah. But if you go to RustyLionAcademy.com/register, you can actually sign up for that for free. And we've got a lot of the training that we do with our clients, we give away for free on that. So there's a lot of videos and, you know, workbooks and things like that that you could actually use. Yep. And then we also have a podcast called The Lion's Den for Businessmen. So that's a good one there. And we're on about 2 times per week. And then the last place would be every Thursday. We have almost every Thursday. Sometimes it's on Wednesdays, but we do a free live training, and you can register for that at RustyLionAcademy.com/live-training. So that's the best way.
And I would say as well for our listeners, check out the Rusty Lion Academy. There is a lot of videos there, a lot of substantial videos as well. This isn't just one of those, you sign up and you get an email or two. This is a lot of good training. So I would encourage everyone to go to RustyLionAcademy.com/register and sign up for that.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate that plug. And thanks for taking a look at a few of the videos.
Sure.
Gentlemen, we always like to close with final thoughts. Maybe Bill, if you'd lead the way, and Robert, if you close us out. Any final thoughts for today?
Well, the final thought that I have for you two is that we are deeply grateful that you invited us on as guests, and you've done such an outstanding job in extracting some of our best out of us. So we appreciate your interview skills. For your audience, I want to leave with an encouragement. There was a time in my life, I know in Robert's life, we've been friends for over 20 years. We've talked about our past when we were losing it all, when we desired to have it all. And I think lots of people in your audience are hanging on by their fingertips, pursuing the have it all, trying to get it all done. And they just feel depressed sometimes at the end of the day or at the end of the week. And I want to tell you that you can have it all and you can do it all. You can do it all that's important in your life that brings you great impact. And I want to encourage you on that journey to stay the course, to continue to grow, and to continue to eliminate the non-essential and pursue the most impactful. It'll completely change your life.
That was very, very well said, Bill. I would just say this, do the thing you fear, and the death of fear is certain. And I think everybody kind of gets in a comfort zone. And if you could sort of picture like a 6-foot circle, we get stuck in the middle of that thing. And I think if you can figure out how to get 1 foot out of that comfort zone, you'll start to see that energy goes up in your life and some great things can actually happen, but you have to do the thing that you fear, and you can do it.
Gentlemen, thank you again for your time. RustyLionAcademy.com.
Thank you so much.
You guys are awesome.
It was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks, Chris.
I think everybody kind of gets in a comfort zone. And I think if you can figure out how to get 1 foot out of that comfort zone, you'll start to see that energy goes up in your life and some great things can actually happen, but you have to do the thing that you fear, and you can do it.